This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We continue our explanation of the text Bidayatul Abidi wa Kifayatul Zahidi walhamdulillah. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, this is a book of Hanbali jurisprudence, and as we have stated, a simple book and a simple explanation, insha'Allah. Our aim and objective, to understand the intent of the author, walhamdulillah, without delving deep into the evidences and the differences amongst the scholars within the school of the Hanbalis and outside the school. That's not our aim and objective right now. Bi-Iznillahi ta'ala, we go through the chapter pertaining to ghusl, then the author will take us to the chapter of tayammum, then we move on to najasat, and lastly we close off the book of tahara with the chapter of menses, bi-Iznillahi ta'ala. Faslun. Mujibatul ghusli sab'atun. The author states, there are 7 mandatory causes for ghusl which include... What makes you take a ghusl? Why would you require taking a ghusl? What would make the ghusl an obligation upon yourself? Number 1. Intiqalu maniyin. Falaw ahassa bintiqalihi fahabasahu falam yakhruj. Wajab al-ghusl. The author states, Number 1. The secretion of seminal fluid. Ghusl is an obligation even if its mere secretion is sensed and then the exiting, the ejaculation is prevented, still the ghusl would be required. So if the secretion of seminal fluid, one feels that there is the release of this seminal fluid, but the exact exiting and ejaculation is prevented, the ghusl would still be required from you. Number 2. فَلَوْ اِغْتَسَلَ لَهُ ثُمَّ خَرَجَ بِلَا لَذَّةٍ لَمْ يُعِدْهُ. And if ghusl is thus then performed, you went and you took the ghusl, and then after this one finds that the discharge, the semen is then discharged, there is no requirement to repeat the ghusl. This ghusl was in its place. And after you had performed the ghusl, you find that there was this release of semen which was not associated with any sort of ladha or enjoyment. This is just the release or the leaking of the semen. And then your ghusl is intact. Walhamdulillah. The author states, likewise, وَخُرُوجُهُ مِنْ مَخْرَجِهِ وَلَوْ دَمًا. Likewise, if ejaculation is due to arousal, and even if the semen has maybe some blood attached or mixed with it, normal ghusl is required. The author then states, وَتُعْتَبَرُ لَذَّةٌ فِي غَيْرِ نَائِمٍ وَنَحْوِهِ. Arousal is taken into consideration for someone not sleeping, etc. Arousal is taken into consideration with regards to somebody who is awake. What would this mean? This means then the one who is asleep, we do not ask whether there was arousal or no arousal. You were asleep and then you awoke and you find traces of semen, you need to take a ghusl. Whether you saw a dream, whether there was no dream, whether you could remember some arousal, not remember any arousal, irrelevant. You were asleep, the question of arousal is irrelevant. You were awake, then yes, here the question of arousal is relevant. The author then states, Number 3, وَتَغِيبُ حَشَفَةٍ أَصْلِيَّةٍ أَوْ قَدْرِهَا فِي فَرْجٍ أَصْلِيٍّ وَلَوْ دُبُرًا لِبَهِيمَةٍ أَوْ مَيِّتٍ مِمَّنْ يُجَامَعُ مِثْلُهُ وَلَوْ نَائِمًا. Allah musta'an. The author states, insertion of the head of the male private organ or its equivalent, if the male private organ, if there has been some deformity, if there has been some injury, well, that portion, that equivalent of it, into the real sexual opening, whether it be the anus, even if it be of an animal, or if it be of a corpse, Allah musta'an, and of anyone of whom intercourse is performed, even if this individual might be asleep. وَتَغِيبُ حَشَفَةٍ أَصْلِيَّةٍ, the disappearance of the head of the male private organ, أو قَدْرِهَا, or its equivalent, فِي فَرْجٍ, into the farj. Farj is the front or the rear private organ. Asliyin, original front or rear private organ. Walau duburan, even if it be the anal passage. Libahimatin, or even of an animal. O mayyitin, or of a corpse. Mimman yujama'u mithluhu, like for example, the male kid under the age of 10, or the female kid, the male kid over the age of 10, the female kid over the age of 9, مِثْلُهُ وَلَوْ نَائِمًا, even if the individual might be asleep. So if any male entered his private organ into any of the above, then ghusl becomes due upon him, and ghusl becomes due upon the one that this was done to. Allahu musta'an. We are not discussing here whether it's halal or haram. Allahu musta'an. That's a separate discussion. Penalties apply, etc., with regards to many of these matters. Here, our discussion only pertains to the matter of ghusl and whether ghusl is due or not. Allahu musta'an. Number 4, wa islamu kafirin, and the Islam of a disbeliever. He embraces al-Islam, walau murtaddan, someone was Muslim, left the fall of Islam, came back, etc. O lam yujad minhu fi kufrihi ma yujibuhu, even though after this individual left Islam and came back to Islam, there was no state of janaba or anything like this, this person will still be required to take a ghusl. Even if, for example, it was, a disbeliever and there was no reason for him to have taken a ghusl. Maybe he's just taken a ghusl and now he's become Muslim. Well, after you become Muslim, you require taking another ghusl. The ghusl is due upon your embrace of al-Islam, according to the school. That's number 4. وَلَوْ مُرْتَدًا أَوْ لَمْ يُوجَدْ مِنْهُ فِي كُفْرِهِ مَا يُجِبُهُ. Number 6, or rather number 5. وَخُرُوجُ حَيْضٍ, and the excretion of menstrual and postpartum blood. وَخُرُوجُ حَيْضٍ وَخُرُوجُ دَمِ نِفَاسِ, so the excretion of menstrual blood or postpartum blood, both of them obligate upon the woman a ghusl. فَلَا يَجِبُ بِوِلَادَةٍ عَرَتْ عَنْهُ, but if, for example, she gives birth and there was absolutely no blood which was associated with this birth, there was a kid which was born, masha'Allah, and there was absolutely no blood, there was absolutely no blood during delivery, it was absent of any bleeding, then in this case here, فَلَا يُوجِبُ بِوِلَادَ, then here there's no ghusl required. There's no ghusl required from her. Obviously, her wudu is broken, but there's no ghusl required from her. وَمَوْتُ تَعَبُّدًا غَيْرَ شَهِيدْ مَعْرَكَ وَمَقْتُولْ ظُلْمًا. And lastly, with regards to the one who passes away, likewise death from which ghusl is purely devotional, the one who has passed away, we require giving a ghusl to this person, ghusl becomes due upon him, except the martyr of the battlefield, we do not give such a person a ghusl, and also the one who was wrongly killed, the one who died in defense of his wealth or his family or his deen, this person here would not be given the ghusl. And this is as opposed to the opinion of majority of the scholars, who make a distinction between the martyr of the battlefield and people who get the reward of a martyr. Nonetheless, here the author states, even the one who was killed in defense of his family, in defense of his wealth, killed oppressively, he will not be given the ghusl, just like the martyr of the battlefield. وَمُصَلَّى الْعِيدْ لَلْجَنَازَ مَسْجِدٌ, and the musalla where you pray salatul eid, jayid, this musalla takes the rulings of a masjid, but not the place where you pray salatul janaza. Why? Because of the famous hadith that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to even the woman in menstruation that they should come out to the musalla of Eid, they should come out and borrow a garment from your sister, etc. But at the time of salah and the musalla, they should stay far and not be there at the musalla. Jayid. So this indicates that the musalla is taking the ruling of the masjid. Also, and as opposed to the place where we pray Salatul Janazah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they had a place outside the masjid that they would pray the Salatul Janazah. The ruling of that area does not follow the ruling of a masjid. Jayid. Another reason would be that the place where you pray Salatul Janazah, the type of Salah that's prayed there is not a type of Salah which has Ruku and Sujood, as opposed to the place where we pray Salatul Eid, which has Ruku and Sujood, etc. وَيَحْرُمُ تَكَسُّبٌ بِصَنْعَةٍ فِيهِ. And the Musalla of Eid, because it follows the rules of the masjid, then you shouldn't be doing business, you shouldn't be doing sales, etc., buying and selling at that place, just like how you're not allowed to do that in the normal masjid. And many of the scholars also put a condition that this Musalla of Eid, it has to be mawqufan, it has to be a waqf. Then only will it follow these rules. But if it's not a waqf, it's just a soccer field, then it will not follow these. It will not follow these rules. Faslun. وَشُرُوطُ الْغُسْلِ سَبْعَةٌ. And the conditions with regards to ghusl, they are seven. Number one, انْقِطَاعُ مَا يُجِبُهُ. Number one, cessation of what requires it. Number two, intention. Number three, al-Islam, wal-aql, wal-tamizu, wal-ma'u al-tahuru al-mubahu, and pure, purifying, permissible water, wa-izalatu ma yamna'u wusulahu, and removal of whatever prevents its contacting and reaching the body, paint or whatever else it might be, this must be removed, as we've already discussed. The author then states, وَفَرْضُهُ أَنْ يَعُمَّ بِالْمَاءِ جَمِيعَ بَدَنِهِ وَدَاخِلَ فَمِهِ وَأَنْفِهِ حَتَّى مَا يَظْهَرُ مِنْهُ فَرْجْ إِمْرَأَةٍ عِنْدَ قُعُودِهَا لِحَاجَتِهَا. Remember, with regards to ghusl, you have two types or two categories of ghusl. Number one is the ghusl which is the best ghusl, the kamil type of ghusl, which is mentioned in the famous hadith of Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, the manner that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would take his ghusl. That's the best option. Then the other type of ghusl is the minimum type of ghusl. That's what the author discusses here. As for the best method of the ghusl, then number one, you wash your hands and then you wash your private organs. After you've washed your private organs, then you take a wudu. After you've done the wudu, then you wash your head, and after you've done that, then you wash your entire body, beginning with the right and ending with the left, and then you wash your feet, and then you are over with the ghusl, as found in the hadith of Maymuna. As for the minimum type of ghusl, then it is أن يعم الماء جميع بدنه. That بالماء جميع بدنه, you should let the water reach the entire body. وَدَاخِلْ فَمِهِ, into the mouth, into the nostrils. حَتَّى مَا يَظْهَرُ مِنْهُ, and whatever is visible of the privates of the woman, this here also needs to be washed. This here also water needs to reach it. Why? Because the mouth, the nose, and these areas are regarded as external. When it comes to the matters of ghusl, they are regarded as external. And so just like how the entire external body must be washed, these parts must also be washed. So if the woman, she sits, whatever is visible at the time of that, then this must also be washed. وَيَكْفِي أَظَنُّ فِي الْإِسْبَاغِ. An assumption that, you know, I've sufficiently cleansed everywhere, this suffices, insha'Allah. وَمَنْ نَوَى غُسْلًا مَسْنُونًا أَوْ وَاجِبًا أَجْزَأَ عَنِ الْآخَرِ. Whoever intends either a recommended or an obligatory ghusl will be sufficed for the other. So, for example, it's the day of Friday and you want to take your ghusl of janaba and also the ghusl of the day of Friday. Your one ghusl of janaba will suffice you for also that ghusl of the jumu'ah, walhamdulillah. The author then states, وَكُرِهَ نَوْمُ جُنُوبٍ بِلَا وُضُوءٍ. it is disliked that a person sleeps while they are in a state of janaba, sexually impure. وَيُكْرَهُ بِنَاءُ الْحَمَّامُ وَبَيْعُهُ وَإِجَارَتُهُ وَالْقِرَاءَةُ فِيهِ وَالسَّلَامُ لَا الذِّكْرُ. And it is disliked to construct bathhouses. Why? Because of certain wrongs that take place in it generally, selling and renting these bathhouses, these hammamat, reciting Quran in them and giving greetings of salam in them, but not dhikr. As for making dhikr in it, then this is something which is permissible. But as for reading Quran and giving people salam in it, the author states that this is something which is disliked. Why? Because of the general wrongs that take place in this type of setting. وَدُخُولُهُ بِسُّتْرَةٍ ودخوله بسترة مع أمن الوقوع في محرم مباح. And entering these type of hammams while you are properly clothed and you are safe from involving yourself in anything impermissible, then this would be allowed for you to enter. So you are entering it properly clothed. You find that sometimes people, their aura is exposed, etc. But you entering with your, you know, garments and yourself properly clothed, and also you feel that you are not going to involve yourself in anything haram, then it's allowed for you to enter, inshallah. But if you fear that there's a chance of some haram, etc., then it's disliked. And if you know definitely you are going to involve yourself in some sort of haram, then it would be haram for you to enter. The author states, O untha, أو دخلته أنثى بلا عذر حرم. And if a woman enters into these hammam places without a valid excuse, then it's also impermissible for her. But if she had a valid excuse, she needed to take a ghusl, etc., then it would be permissible. Faslun. The author now moves on to the chapter pertaining to tayammum. And here, what would he discuss? Talk about when do I perform tayammum? What are the circumstances which bring upon this substitute of wudu, which is tayammum? Sometimes it's a substitute for ghusl also. And so, what are the circumstances? Number two, how do I perform? How do I make this tayammum? What breaks this tayammum? We will discuss, insha'Allah. The author states, Faslun. التيمم استعمال تراب مخصوص لوجه ويدين بدل طهارة ماء لكل ما يفعل به عند عجز عنه شرعا سوى نجاسة على غير بدن. The author states, تيمم is a specific application, putting of the earth, the sand, on the face and the hands as a replacement for the water-based purification. So it takes the place of wudu, it also takes the place of ghusl. So my hadath al-asghar and my hadath al-akbar, I can make tayammum in place of wudu, I can make tayammum in place of ghusl. Also, I can make tayammum in place of some najasa that's on my body that I'm unable to remove because maybe I do not have water available. This is something which is from the mufradat of the madhab, which is specific to the Hanbali madhab. They also state that you should take and make tayammum if you have some najasa on your body, not your clothes or anywhere else, but you have some najasa on your body and you're unable to wash this, so you should make tayammum for that. Not tayammum on it, maybe there's the najasa on your feet, but you would make normal tayammum for this here. You would make tayammum for this, insha'Allah. So tayammum is a specific application of earth on the face and the hands as a replacement for the water-based purification due to a legal inability, except filth not found on the body or remaining in the masjid due to a need. But if you have some najasa which is not on the body, some najasa on your clothes, here there's no such thing as a tayammum for that. But if it's on the body, yes, then as we mentioned, you make tayammum for that, which is specific only to the Hanbali madhab. Also, generally, if you are in a state of janaba, then you can take wudu and then you are allowed to sit in the masjid. But if there's no water available, can I make tayammum and then sit in the masjid? No, there's no need for that. You can just sit in the masjid without any need for tayammum. So these are two places where the author states separately, differently to the general norm. The three conditions with regards to tayammum are, number one, dukhulu waqti salah, the entrance of the prayer time. You cannot make tayammum for zuhr salah at 10 o'clock in the morning, when the time of zuhr hasn't entered as yet. Try it. Because if done earlier, maybe one might argue that you were lax in looking for the water, you still had two or three more hours, etc. Also, according to the madhab, tayammum is something which is a concession which allows you to pray. Whereas other scholars are of the opinion that tayammum is the substitute of wudu in all respects. And so according to them, it would make no difference whether you made the tayammum before the entry of the prayer time or not. You could make the tayammum at, example, 11 o'clock and pray at 1 o'clock. And as long as there was no water, all is well. Why? Because tayammum is the replacement of wudu in all respects. Whereas according to the Hanbalis and others, that tayammum is a concession which allows you to pray. So you can only make use of this concession once the time of that prayer has now entered. So when the time of zuhr enters, you make tayammum. And when the time of zuhr expires, your tayammum expires. And so for the next salah, you would need to take another tayammum according to many. دخول وقت الصلاة وتعذر الماء لحبسه عنه ونحوه. Number two, absence of water due to it being withheld from an individual. So there's the absence of water. There's no water available. Or maybe the water is available, but it's very, very expensive, exorbitant price. You are unable to purchase. Or maybe, for example, your life is in danger. You're unable to get to that water. For whatever reason, you're unable to get to that water. وَنَحْوِهِ أَوْ لِخَوْفِهِ بِطَلَبِهِ. Or you are fearful of getting to that water, which may cause either physical or financial harm to yourself. وَمَنْ وَجَدَ مَاءً لَا يَكْفِي طَهَارَتَهُ إِسْتَعْمَلَهُ وُجُوبًا ثُمَّ تَيَمَّمْ. Whoever finds water which is not sufficient for his purification is obliged to use it and then perform the tayammum. You only have half a cup of water. Get rid of that half cup of water, use it up, and then you move on to tayammum. Because tayammum is only valid in the absence of that water. Then the author states, it is done with pure permissible earth. وَأَنْ يَكُونْ بِتُرَابٍ طَهُورٍ. With pure permissible earth, غَيْرِ مُحْتَرِقٍ لَهُ غُبَارٌ يَعْلَقُ بِالْيَدِ. It is done with pure permissible earth, not that which was fired, not that which was, in a fire, etc., لَهُ غُبَارٌ يَعْلَقُ بِالْيَدِ. And it has like dust that sticks to the hand. When you put your hand on the ground and then you are wiping your face, then there is some sand, there are traces of the sand which are found on your hand. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ ذَلِكَ صَلَّ الْفَرْضَ فَقَطْ عَلَى حَسَبِ حَالِهِ. But if he's unable to find water, he's unable to find sand which has these qualities, etc., then this person is regarded as one who has absolutely no tahara. No wudu, no ghusl, no tayammum, faqid al-tahurain. That he has absolutely no purification at all. What does he do? He prays the fard salah faqat, only the fard salah, not the nawafil salah. Ala hasbi hadihi, in whatever state he might be. He might be locked up in jail and he's chained to the wall. He prays in that state for every salah. ولا يزيد في صلاته على مجزي. And in his salah, he does not go beyond the minimum of the prayer. So he would just recite Surah Al-Fatiha in his standing. He will only recite one tasbih in his sajda, in his ruku, etc. ولا إعادة عليه. And there's no repetition upon him required. Why is the author stating that this individual should just do the minimum prayer? Because you don't want to go beyond using the concession beyond what it's been given for. You don't have any wudu, you don't have any tayammum, so you just do the minimum type of prayer, that's all. وَفُرُوضُهُ. And the fara'id of tayammum, what are they? Number one, مَسْحُ وَجْهِهِ, wiping of the face. Here we do not include the mouth and the nose. We do not say to you, put some sand into your nose and the mouth. No, no, no. وَيَدَيْهِ إِلَى كُوْعِيهِ. And his wrists up to the bone, up to the up to the wrist, basically. The wrist, basically, up to that joint. He wipes over the wrist up to the joint, not up to the elbows, but up to the joint of the wrist. وَتَرْتِيبٌ, and to do it in order. وَمُوَالَاتٌ لِحَدَثٍ أَصْغَرٍ, and to keep to the sequence and continuation for a minor hadath, which is equivalent to wudu. And also, he should do the tayammum of one limb after the other and not have any alien break. This is in respect to when he is making tayammum for his wudu. But if he's making tayammum for a ghusl, then here this condition doesn't apply. But why? Because muwalat is a condition with regards to your wudu. And so because this tayammum is like the substitute, then the tayammum would also follow that same rule. And so this muwalat, which is continuity doing one after the other, it applies in the tayammum, which is the substitute for a wudu, and not the tayammum for a ghusl. وَتَعْيِينُ نِيَّةِ إِسْتِبَاحَةِ مَا تَيَمَّمَ لَهُ مِنْ حَدَثٍ أَوْ نَجَاسَةٍ. And he should have the intention legalizing what tayammum is being performed for due to either hadath al-akhar wa innawahuma ajza'a. That this individual, he should have that intention. This tayammum here, is it for a ghusl? Is it for a wudu? Is it for this najasa that I have on my body? And for whatever his intention is, that's what he would get. Example, he made tayammum for the najasa which is on his feet. Now it's time for salah, or he wants to read Quran, etc. He would require another tayammum. He would require another tayammum for doing that. Why? Because his first tayammum was only for a specific matter. That's why rather you should maximize your intention. His tayammum should have rather been that this tayammum here is for example, my hadath al-akbar, my major impurity, or for example, my hadath al-asghar, and then it would apply to whatever. As the author states, and specifying an intention legalizing what tayammum is being performed for due to either hadath or impurity. An intent for one is not sufficient for the other. But if they were both intended, it would be sufficient, mashallah. So if, for example, he requires a tayammum for a ghusl, for a wudu, and for the najasa on his feet, he makes one tayammum with the intention for all three, it suffices. But if he only did it for the najasa, then it won't apply to the others. So maximize it. One tayammum with the three intentions, if all of them are relevant, walhamdulillah. وَيُبْطِلُهُ مَا يُبْطِلُ الْوُضُوءُ. And what breaks this tayammum? Whatever breaks your wudu. وَخُرُوجُ الْوَقْتِ, when the time expires, your tayammum also expires. Zuhr time ended, your wudu of your tayammum of zuhr ended. When your asr time comes in, you need to make a new tayammum. When the asr time expires, your tayammum of asr would also expire. وَوُجُودِ الْمَاءِ إِن تَيَمَّمْ لِفَقْدِهِ, and if you made tayammum because of the absence of water, when water is found, your tayammum is broken. وَزَوَالُ الْمُبِيحِ لَهُ, if you made tayammum because you were ill and now you are well, your tayammum broke. وَخَلْعُ مَا يُمْسَحُ عَلَيْهِ, and if you removed what you had wiped over. Somebody had made wudu, then he put on his khufain, later on he had wiped over these khufain, later on there was no water, and so he made tayammum. And after this tayammum, 20 minutes later, he removed the khuf. Because that removal of the khuf would have broken his wudu, then here it also breaks his tayammum. Jameel, mashallah. The author states, Faslun. This is now the chapter pertaining to impurities and how to cleanse oneself of these impurities. يُشْتَرَطُ لِكُلِّ مُتَنَجِّسٍ سَبْعُ غَسَلَاتٍ إِنْ أَنْقَطْ. Removal of impurities. 7 washes are required for anything soiled by impurities, so that it would become clean. Generally, we find that the author divides 2 matters. This najasa on the earth and najasa on other objects. Let's begin with najasa, impurities on other than the earth. This can be divided into three categories. Najasa, which is a light type of najasa. Najasa, which is the middle category. And the najasa, which is a heavy type of najasa. So the author first talks about the middle category, mutawassita, the average type of najasa. Generally, most types of najasa, they must be washed 7 times. This is also specific to the Hanbali madhab. And they made qiyas here upon the matter of the dog. And so 7 times you need to wash this najasa. So there's some feces on the garment. This needs to be washed 7 times. There's some urine on the garment. This needs to be washed 7 times. Wa illa فَحَتَّى تَنْقِيَ بِمَاءٍ طَهُورٍ مَعَحَتٍ وَقُرْسٍ لِحَاجَةٍ إِلَّمْ يَتَضَرَّرْ الْمَحَلِ. The author states, otherwise it is washed until it is purified. If 7 times does the job, alhamdulillah. But maybe 7 times and it's still not clean. Well, you do as many as required, 13, 15, 19 times. It's washed until it's purified. What do you use to wash it? Can you use tahir water? Can you use najis water? No, you must only use tahur, the purest of water, along with, you know, like scratching it and rubbing it if needed without harming the location, and squeezing the water, wringing that which absorbs water, like a garment if possible, every time outside the water source. So you squeeze up the garment on the side there and then you put it back into the water and you wash it a second time. Squeeze out the water and then you do a third time. So you continue doing this 7 times minimum, and there's no limit to the maximum. إِلَّمْ يَتَضَرَّرْ أَلْمَحَلْ وَعَصْرٍ مَعَ إِمْكَانْ فِي مَا تَشَرَّبَ كُلُّ مَرَّةٍ خَارِجَ الْمَاءِ وَكُونُ إِحْدَاهَا فِي مُتَنَجِّسٍ بِكَلْبٍ أَوْ خِنْزِيرٍ بِتُرَابٍ طَهُورٍ. And as for the next matter, if, for example, this was something related to a dog, najasa of the dog or najasa of the swine, then one of them must be with pure dirt if the filthy object was due to a dog or a swine. So here you wash 7 times, and also one of the times must be sand. This is the heavy type of najasa. So you're washing 7 times, but one of those 7 times is what? Is washing with some soil, some sand, because this is the najasa of a swine or a dog. The next matter. A remaining taste is detrimental, but not a color, smell, or both if difficult to remove. The author states, وَيَضُرُّ بَقَاءُ طَعْمٍ لَا لَوْنٍ أَوْ رِيحٍ أَوْ هُمَا عَجْزًا. That if after you've washed the area where there was najasa, but we find that a remaining taste is detrimental. There's some taste of the najasa. There's some najasa there that could be tasted. You don't have to taste it, but it could be tasted. Then this is a problem. This is an issue. This is a sign that the najasa is still present. But if there's only the color of the najasa or the smell of the najasa, then this is not detrimental if you're unable to remove that. Sometimes you have a white garment and there was some blood which was on the garment. You washed it 10 times, 20 times, 15 times, but there's still that color of the blood. There's no problem with that. This is fine, inshallah. This is fine, inshallah, because it's too difficult beyond that point. And that slight color, it does not necessarily mean that the najasa is still there. Whereas if there's the taste, then it shows and it proves that the najasa is still present. Damil. The author states, it is sufficient to spray water. وَيُجْزِئُ فِي بَوْلِ غُلَامٍ لَمْ يَأْكُلْ طَعَامًا لِشَهْوَةٍ نَضْحُهُ وَهُوَ غَمْرُهُ بِمَاءٍ. It is sufficient to spray some water until soaked on the garment, on the area, on urine of a baby boy who does not yet eat food due to his own cravings. So he's a small kid, he hasn't really been eating solids as yet, and his najasa urine has fallen on the shirt. Here you don't really need to go and use so much of water that you wash. Rather, as long as the area where the urine is has been soaked with water. Even if that water doesn't drip off that garment, but that area has been soaked, so it's much less water being used than an actual wash, this will suffice. This is what we call najasa mukhaffafa. Light type of najasa. وفي نحو صخر وأحواض وأرض
تنجست بمائع ولو من كلب أو خنزير مكاثرتهما بماء حتى يذهب لون النجاسة وريحها ما لم يعجز عن إذهابهما أو إذهاب أحدهما ولو لم يزل الماء فيهما أي في بول الغلام. The author states, as for rocks, basins, and land which have been soiled by liquid, even if it be from a dog or a swine, because this is now on the earth. Remember we said najasa on the earth and najasa on other than the earth. This is now on the earth. Then here, it is to be sprayed with an abundant amount of water, to be poured over it, or until its color and smell are removed. So long as it's not possible to remove one of the other. As long as one is unable to remove one of the other. So here we just pour water over that. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the man who urinated in the masjid, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, pour over that area some water. If the water is still present on them, that is the boy's urine, the land, etc., they are purified even with the presence of the water. So that would suffice pouring water over that matter. وَلَا تَطْهُرُ أَرْضٌ بِشَمْسٍ وَرِيحٍ وَجَفَافٍ. Land is not purified by the sun, the wind, or due to drying. So there was some najasa out on the lawn, and the sun came out and dried this up. Doesn't mean that that area is now purified. وَلَا نَجَاسَةٌ بِنَارٍ. And najasa is not purified by fire, nor is it with fire, as its ash is still impure. فَرَمَادُهَا نَجِسٌ. This is the matter of istihala. We find that other schools are of the opinion that as long as the najasa has been removed in whatever method, whatever way, whatever fashion, as long as it's gone, then the area is now pure. Here the Hanbalis say, no, we will only use water to purify it. Even if the sun came out, even if, for example, the fire burnt this matter, it's najasa, and now it's turned into ash, this ash will also be najis. Except, وَتَطْهُرُ خَمْرَةٌ إِنْقَلَبَتْ خَلًّا. Except if, for example, alcohol is purified when naturally changed into vinegar, when naturally changed on its own, not by the changing of the human being. بِنَفْسِهَا أو بِنَقْدٍ لَا لِقَصْدِ التَّخْلِيلِ. Or if, for example, it changed into vinegar, but the person who did this, he didn't intend to do that. So it changed on its own into vinegar, or it changed by somebody doing something, but he didn't intend to do that, then it would be pure. وَدَنُّهَا مِثْلُهَا. And its container follows the similar ruling. وَإِنْ خَفِيَتْ نَجَاسَةٌ غَسَلَ حَتَّى يَتَيَقَّنْ غَسْلُهَا. And if, for example, there's some najasa in one area, and we are uncertain where exactly it was, we need to wash an amount of the area until we are certain that the area where there was the najasa has also been washed. So if you had some najasa on one sleeve, you're not sure which sleeve it was, you need to wash both of them until you are certain that, you know, whichever one it was, has now been cleaned. Walhamdulillah. Faslun. The author then moves on to another matter pertaining to the matters of najasa and cleansing. He states, وَالْمُسْكِرُ الْمَائِعُ. Liquid intoxicants, they are najis. وَمَا لَا يُؤْكَلُ مِنَ الطَّيْرِ وَالْبَهَائِمِ مِمَّا فَوْقَ الْهِرِ خِلْقَةً نَجِس. Liquid intoxicants, also birds and beasts that are not permissible to eat, and they are physically larger than a cat, they are najis. مَا لَا يُؤْكَلُ لَحْمُهُ. That which we do not eat, we're not allowed to eat, but its size is bigger than a cat, these are najis. So what does this tell us? That if, for example, you do not eat it, but it is smaller than the size of a cat, then it's not najis. If it drank from your bowl of water, etc., you do not need to throw that water away. وَكُلُّ مَيْتَةٍ نَجِسَةٌ. And all types of carcasses, they are impure, except غَيْرَ مَيْتَةِ الْآدَمِ, except the dead human being, وَالسَّمَكْ, number two, fish, and everything of the ocean, وَالْجَرَادِ, and the locust. وَيُعْفَى عَنْ يَسِيرِ طِينِ. and a small amount of dirt from the roadways. So some dust, some dirt from the pathway, from the street, you know, fell onto your garment. Either you know it's najis, or number two, you don't know whether it's najis, you are unsure, or number three, you are sure it's not najis. In all these circumstances, as long as it is a little, even if it was najis, as long as it's little bit of najasa, it is overlooked. وَيُؤْفَى عَنْ يَسِيرِ طِينِ شَارِعٍ عُرْفًا إِنْ عُلِمَتْ نَجَاسَتُهُ وَإِلَّا فَهُوَ طَاهِرٍ. If you really know that this mud or whatever which came upon you, you know that this has najasa in it, but because it's a small amount, this would be overlooked. وَلَا يُكْرَهُ سُؤْرُ حَيَوَانٍ طَاهِرٍ. The leftovers of pure animals. What's pure animal? Pure animals are those animals that we are allowed to eat. And number two, animals that are smaller than the size of a cat, even though we might not eat them. For example, the rat, and it drank some of your water from a certain utensil. You had a big container of water. Can I still use this container of water? The answer is yes. The leftovers of pure animals are not disliked. It's not makruh. The excess food and drink. وَهُوَ فَضْلَةُ طَعَامِهِ وَشُرَابِهِ غَيْرْ دَجَاجَةٍ. And so, the leftover of whatever it drank from or it ate from, it is still pure. غير دجاجة مخلات وفأر. Except for that of a free roaming chicken and mice. Except for free roaming chicken and mice. Ah, so those are the two exceptions. Important to note that if it was a rat, mouse, etc., and it ate, etc., then these ones here, it would be makruh. Again, وَلَا يُكْرَهُ سُؤْرُ حَيَوَانٍ طَاهِرٍ. The leftovers of a pure animal are not disliked. What's the leftovers? The excess food and drink. وَهُوَ فَضْلَةُ طَعَامِهِ وَشَرَابِهِ. It drank from some water, the leftover water. It ate from some food, the leftover food. This is not disliked. Except for the rat, the mouse, and the chicken which feeds on filth, etc. وَلَوْ أَكَلَ هِرٌ وَنَحْوُهُ أَوْ طِفْلٌ نَجَاسَةً ثُمَّ شَرِبَ وَلَوْ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَغِيبَ مِنْ مَاءٍ يَسِيرٍ فَطَهُورٌ. And if, for example, a child or a cat ate something which was najis, and after that, drank from a small bit of water, that small bit of water would still be pure. So if, for example, the kid ate something which was najis, and then after that he drank from this cup of water, the cup of water and the water which remains there would still be pure. Walhamdulillah. Faslun, last chapter in the book of Tahara, the chapter pertaining to the menses. Here the author will discuss the minimum age. He'll talk about the maximum number of days of menses, the maximum number of days of the pure period in between the menses. He'll talk about nifas, etc. وَأَقَلُّ سِنْ حَيْضٍ تَمَامُ تِسْعِ سِنِينَ. The earliest age of menstruation is at 9, and the latest is at 50. So before 9, this is not menses. This is dam fasad. This here has no specific rules attached to it. After the age of 50, same story. This is not regarded as menses. وَأَكْثَرُهُ 50 سَنَةً وَالْحَامِلُ لَا تَحِيضُ. And the female who is pregnant, she does not menstruate. وَأَقَلُّهُ يَوْمٌ وَلَيْلَةٌ. And the minimum duration of menses is 1 day and 1 night. Sister bled for 3 hours. This is not menses. Sister bled for 9 hours. This is not menses. She bled for 20 hours and stopped. This is not regarded as menses. Whatever salah she missed, she needs to make qada of those salawat. وَأَكْثَرُهُ 15 يَوْمًا. And the maximum number of days menses can be is 15 days. 16 days, 17 days, she's still bleeding. The 15th, the 16th and the 17th, those 2 days are not from her menses. She will take a ghusl, she will pray, and she will fast as normal. وَغَالِبُهُ سِتٌ أَوْ سَبْعٌ And the average time period of menses is 6 or 7 days. وَأَقَلُّ الطُّهْرِ بَيْنَ الْحَيْضَتَيْنِ 13 يَوْمًا And the shortest period of purity between two menstrual cycles is 13 days. The shortest period of purity between two menses is 13 days. While most of the time it is the remainder of the month, وغالبه بقية الشهر which is 23-24 days ولا حد لأكثره and there is no maximum with regards to how long this woman can be pure. Maybe a woman she only menstruates once a year. الله مستعان. ويحرم عليها فعل صلاة she cannot make صلاة ولا تقضيها she will not make قضاء of the صلاة وفعل صوم she will not fast وتقضيها and she will not make قضاء of her fasting while she's in her menses ووطؤها في فرج he's not allowed to have intercourse with her while she's in her menses ويجب فيه دينار أو نصفه كفارة and if the husband had intercourse with the wife while she was in menses he needs to give a kafara of 1 dinar or half a dinar. وَتُبَاحُ الْمُبَاشَرَةُ فِي مَا دُونَهُ And as for intimacy with her with regards to other areas, then this is something which is permitted. The area even between the navel and the knee would be permitted, but intercourse is not permissible. وَالنِّفَاسُ لَا حَدْ لِأَقَلِّهِ Postpartum bleeding, there's no limit to its shortest duration. A woman might give birth and after 3 days, she stops bleeding, khalas, it's all over, and she takes a ghusl, and she will begin to perform salah and fast, etc. وَأَكْثَرُهُ 40 يَوْمًا Maximum is 40 days. She's bleeding 41, 42, 47 days. After 40 days, she takes a ghusl. All rules are normal. وَيَثْبُتُ حُكْمُهُ بِوَضْعِ مَا يَتَبَيَّنُ فِيهِ خَلْقُ الْإِنسَانِ And the rulings of nifas apply upon the woman. If, for example, she gives birth or she has a miscarriage, and one can see signs of form, signs of human characteristics appear on this which was miscarried. And according to the madhab, it is 81 days. So if she has a miscarriage, after 81 days, then the rules of nifas would apply upon her. Because it's as if that she has given birth. And so whatever blood that she sees, etc., would be the blood of nifas. But if she had a miscarriage after 60 days and she bleeds, she will fast and she will pray as normal because that does not follow the rules of nifas. That follows the rules of dam fasad, which has no rules attached to it. The author then states, وَالنَّقَاءُ زَمَنُهُ طُهْرٌ And being clean during its duration is purity, though intercourse in it is disliked. If, for example, the woman stopped bleeding after 5 days, then she is regarded as pure. Except that the husband should not have intercourse with her. He should wait for 40 days. So she became pure technically after 5 days. He should wait another 35 days. It would be makruh. It would be makruh for him to have intercourse with her. وَالنَّقَاءُ زَمَنُهُ طُهْرٌ وَيُكْرَهُ الْوَطْءُ فِيهِ And it is disliked to have intercourse with her during this period before the 40 days, even though she is technically pure. وَهُوَ كَحَيْضٍ And this nifas follows the rules of menses fi ahkamihi ghayra iddatin wa bulugh except when it comes to idda. If, for example, she was divorced in her nifas, then this nifas is not counted as one of the menses. Remember, when it comes to the divorce, then she is in the idda for 3 menses. Then this nifas, although it generally follows the rules of menses, it doesn't follow the rule of the menses in this matter here. She will still wait for three menses. And also it doesn't follow the rule of menses when it comes to bulugh. Because obviously if this woman has given birth to a kid, it means she didn't become baligh now. She's become baligh a long ago. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, with that we have completed Kitab al-Tahara, walhamdulillah, from the book Bidayatul Abid wa Kifayatul Zahid by Abdul Rahman ibn Abdullah al-Ba'li al-Hambali rahimahullah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, the student of knowledge, the one who is seeking knowledge, this individual is seeking the path to paradise. Whether you become the alim, the scholar, the muhaddith, irrelevant. By you being on the path of seeking knowledge, then you are on the path to paradise. Khair and barakah to you. Numerous ahadith attest to the virtue of the talibul ilm, the student of knowledge. Even if it be that you are the seeker of knowledge only once a week, you are the seeker of knowledge only once a month, as has been said, that be a student, be an alim, be a student of knowledge. If you can't even be that, be the one who at least loves those who seek knowledge, loves the scholars. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. We've covered the chapter of tahara. What is the state of your tahara? What is the state of your wudu? What is the state of your ghusl? Have you perfected it? This is bidayatul abid, the commencement of the worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, many of the matters in fiqh are discussed from a minimalist point of view. What's the minimum requirement? But what is expected is obviously to reach the level of the zahid, insha'Allah. And so when we are performing our wudu, be cognizant of the fact that our sins are being wiped away. Be cognizant of the fact that we are now standing after this wudu before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be cognizant of the fact that this is an act of ibadah. Be cognizant of the fact that what we are studying has come down to us over the generations via the great scholars of al-Islam. This is a great, beautiful heritage that we have in front of us. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us knowledge which is beneficial and keep us away from knowledge which is not beneficial. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this knowledge a proof for us and not a proof against us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect us in the company of the Anbiya and the Salihin and Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal and the Tabi'een and the Sahaba, and most importantly our Nabi Muhammad, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam وبارك لعبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.